You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts.
Well, hello and welcome to the China Shop. I'm Shopkeeper Dan, and with me as always is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. How are you doing today, Kyle?
I am doing great. I could not sleep last night, so I took some children's Benadryl. Yeah, I was supposed to go to the store.
But instead you stole the Benadryl from a child?
Yes, exactly.
Excellent.
Man, I slept till I got up at like 7. I was supposed to go to Costco or Sam's Club, and I was like, you know what, fuck that, I'm going back to bed. I slept for another 3 hours. I felt glorious. I finally feel rested.
Oh, well, congratulations. I'm excited for you. That's a wonderful feeling. Right. I've been searching for years.
I know.
Oh, folks, come on into the shop with us today. Sit back, relax, rage against the hedge machine. We'd love to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We're here smashing our way into a complete set of fine china, sharing those ever-growing strategies for trying to maximize gains and cut losses. If you're new to the shop and stock trading in general, you can always check out our knowledge center on financialineptitude.com or give one of our beginning trading episodes a listen. We have all those links in the episode description. Best place to be, though, is follow that link to the Discord server. Kyle and I get on there every day.
Every day.
We're sharing charts, trade ideas, answering questions, having a good time. And when you do join that server, don't forget to send us a message with your email or mailing address. Sorry, don't forget to send us a message or email with your email. Let Lionel lick lusty leathers. Don't forget to send us a private message or email with your mailing address. We'll send you a smash-it-yourself mug or shot glass straight from the shop. We're just so glad you're here. We have a lot of fun. It's always better with friends.
Always.
Fantastic show for you guys
today. And we're getting more friends.
We're getting more friends. I love it. I love it.
I know. So weird.
I know it's weird for you to have friends, Kyle, but I've had a few in my life, and it's a good time.
These are the best kind of friends, too, because I don't have to go hang out with them to maintain the friendship.
No physical proximity required.
Exactly.
Oh, thank the Lord.
Exactly.
Oh, we got any show news going on?
We do. We've got the episode with Shahir Abrams coming out this week that we recorded.
Oh, yeah.
Really good crypto episode. So we're looking forward to releasing that.
That was a great episode.
Yeah. I don't think he knew what he was getting into. I think he didn't know that we were...
Yeah.
Not a typical stock trading. Yeah. We had fun.
Yeah. It was good. Very good time.
Vico's coming back at the end of the month. Let's see. Then October, we've got Matt Rayner and Anthony Fatsies. Scheduled our new beginner episode with a local dentist. So I'm looking forward to answering some of his questions.
Mm.
And ChangeBridge is now scheduled. That'll be at the end of the month.
Yes. The ETF guys. Yes. I can't wait to talk to them.
Me too. Oh, and also, I think we owe a big thank you to our first donation.
Oh, yeah. Was it Chris?
It was Chris something.
Do we have to give out his last name?
Oh, no, we don't have to.
Yeah.
I guess thank you, Christopher.
Thank you, Christopher.
Thank you very much. I think I got your email on here from when you filled that out, so be on the lookout, because we're probably going to be sending you a thank you ringtone.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I've got some music work on my plate here, Kyle.
I know. I sent you the lyrics yesterday. I'm really looking forward to this one.
Well, folks, we have just got a harrowing, hair-raising, hungry show for you today.
I am starving.
Plenty of market-moving news, stocks on the radar, and more options than a butcher at a petting zoo.
Oh, that's awful. Because of the animals or the children?
Oh, you went real dark. I thought it was dark, and you were like, let's go a shade darker. Oh, reach out to us. We love your messages and comments on Twitter and Facebook. We love your questions on Discord. We got that link in the episode description. If you're old school, send us an email to the number 2bulls@financialineptitude.com. That's 2bulls@financialineptitude.com. Or you can give us a phone call, 725-22-BULLS. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made. Or maybe you're just hitchhiking through Oregon trying to mind your business and some shady local sheriffs start trying to kill you. They drew first blood. It doesn't matter. We love it when you reach out. Is it time for some news?
Yeah, we're definitely rambling.
Yeah, a little bit. Keeps people on the edge of their seats. When are they going to say something interesting? Surely it's going to come right now.
Let's just play a song.
All right.
Well, it's all for the money. Tune to the show. Need a good story so my margin grows, or won't you? Listen to all our news. You might learn some things with the China Shop Market News.
Okay. Well, Kyle, any big headlines you're itching to talk about?
I thought you had one that you were really wanting to...
I do. I just, you know, always like to give you the opportunity if I can think about it.
Inflation is really starting to be a problem.
What? Inflation? You don't say.
The headline of this, yeah, inflation challenging stock market underpinnings as investors look ahead to the Fed meeting. There's been a lot of selling pressure lately. I think a lot of this is having to do with... you know, the threats of the inflation. So wage pressures, supply chains disruptions from COVID-19 are adding to these costs. And a lot of these companies are having a tough time passing on the inflation to, you know, the people who have to purchase all their stuff. The consumer price index did miss the estimate for, you know, on the good side. It was climbed 0.3% when it was estimated to be 0.4%. And the consumer price index, it was up 5.3% in August, down from 5.4% in July. But there's still a lot of concern. And then you couple that with the Federal Reserve looking to maybe ease up on the bond purchasing, you know, the qualitative easing or whatever the fuck you call it.
Tapering.
You know, there's a lot of...
Yeah, they're putting, what, $160 billion a month, is it?
Oh, God, is it that much?
Yeah. Yeah, the Federal Reserve is purchasing like $160 billion worth of bonds every month to prop up the economy.
I don't wonder why it keeps going up.
Yeah.
This is the quote I like. Inflation is moving in the economy like a pig through a python. It's Jade Jacobs, head of research and strategy at Global X. It's a little bit of a whack-a-mole right now, he said.
A pig through a python. I love that.
So inflation data released September 14th by the U.S. government showed the cost of living rose at a slower than expected pace in August. The consumer price index was still elevated at 5.3% year over year. Prices last month fell for airfare, hotels, car insurance, used vehicles, but the cost of food rose sharply, while prices also increased for new cars, gasoline, home furnishing, and rent. Rent has been going nuts lately.
Yeah. If you don't already have a place to live, this is the worst time I've ever seen to try and find one.
And there's been some sneaky ways that they're trying to hide inflation, too, that George keeps talking about. If you listen to his morning market updates on the Trade Pro channel, he keeps talking about, like, there's little things that you don't really notice, like packagings are getting smaller, like less rolls of toilet paper on your rolls, or you know, paper towel sheets, like little things like that.
The one of the convenience stores near my house liquidated all of their king size M&Ms, and I bought a bunch because they were cheap. And the new ones that hit the shelves are smaller, like by half an ounce.
Really?
They're half an ounce smaller. Yeah, and that's probably why they liquidated all the other ones, is they didn't want people to see them side by side.
I bet you're right.
So it's the same price, and you're getting less M&Ms.
What's that Mitch Hedberg joke he used to do about like the Hershey's bars, where they stamp like the brand into the chocolate bar? He says it's just a sneaky way to rob you of chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if those stamps are getting deeper, too. Which
is- right. Yeah, it's stuff like that. That's how they hide it.
Yeah. There's a lot more of that going on. Anyway.
99 cent only store selling shit for $5. What's that about?
What kind of world do we live in? I guess Dollar General doesn't mean everything's a dollar. They're just all round numbers.
Fuckers. Oh, yeah. Inflation's a bitch, and you can't run away from it forever. It's the pig and a python. Eventually, it'll make it through.
And it won't be pleasant.
It kind of lines up with the story that I came across that made my jaw kind of drop a little bit.
What's that?
Apparently, investors have pulled nearly $62 billion from cash accounts this week to put them in stocks and bonds and gold.
Oh, so they are buying the dip. I was really starting to get worried.
Yeah. This was the fastest pace in more than a year. And it's betting, basically, you know, betting that the Federal Reserve is going to continue to support the markets. Oh, and I it's not $160 billion per month in asset purchases. It's $120. Apologies to That's everyone. It's only $120 billion a month.
That's still an unfathomable number. Yeah.
51 billion went into equities, 16 into bonds, and 37 million into gold. So gold's the little toddler.
This is all before the Fed meeting, right?
Yes.
I think that was
through the week.
So when is that meeting supposed to be?
That next meeting is September 21st, Kyle.
Tuesday.
Yeah, lots of people expecting the Fed to keep on propping it up.
Well, I think we talked about it last week. The voting member who thinks it's going to happen this year, he mm-hmm. also said that he did not think it was going to happen on this coming meeting. Like, it wasn't going to be voted on yet. So people are probably just, I guess, trying to get the last little bit out of this run that they can.
Yeah. One of Bank America's strategists said, I guess Michael Harnett, said that liquidity hasn't been this easy since July 2007.
Oh, I think the other statement is a little funnier. It hasn't been this easy since last week. Like, wow, that's really scary.
Yeah. Three months before the S&P topped out ahead of what they call the Great Financial Crisis. So everything's gotten super liquid. And the Fed's propping it up and talking about, well, maybe we'll start tapering, maybe we won't. I don't know. I'm glad that
they have to stop soon.
I'm glad that I'm learning trading and not long-term investing, because
I know, right? Yeah, because when this thing does come down, I think hopefully we'll be in a good position to capitalize.
Yeah, and not lose my shirt.
Yep.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with the 21st, 22nd meeting when they talk about tapering. But so far, cash is just flowing right into those equities. A lot of big tech.
Can't really see that on the S&P.
Yeah?
S&P did not seem to really benefit from that inflow. So there's still a lot more people pulling out.
It's still gone 377 days without a 10% pullback. Mm. So
wow. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Longest stretch since February 2016 to February 2018. So, you know, maybe we can keep the party going. Who knows?
Maybe. All right. Last thing on my list to talk about kind of ties in with what we're saying with inflation, about the wage pressures being something that companies are having trouble. I think you actually posted this story too, so I'm stealing it. But
do it.
Looks like companies are finally going to start getting rid of drug testing to start filling some of these positions. They've gotten so desperate that smoking pot will no longer disqualify you from working at places like Amazon.
Look, we don't care if you're high at work. Just we need people.
This actually, like, this whole thing, like, people talk about it being the Great Resignation. I actually think it might be, like, the greatest strike the country's ever seen.
Right? Like, people aren't looking to stop working forever. They just want good terms.
Almost 70% of employers worldwide are having trouble finding the people they need.
Yeah.
They're starting to offer not just higher wages and flexible schedules, but free college tuition for workers.
Yeah, I saw that. What was that, Amazon doing that? Or is this... Yeah.
It didn't say who. It just said that that's something that people are starting to do.
Well, you know, I just left my job, and I was at the grocery store, and we're talking to the checkout clerk, and I said, yeah, it's my last day. He's like, it's my last day here, too. And he started talking about how he was able, it wasn't hard for him to go find a place that he wanted to work at more and negotiate a higher term of pay, and then just everything, he negotiated everything better.
Yeah.
Because the worker has a little bit of power all of a sudden.
Worker has a lot of power right now. If you are stuck in a job that you don't like, start looking around because you can get some much better terms.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost 11 million job openings since July.
Yeah, oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, after, what was it, the Black Death in Europe in the Middle Ages, when all of the peasants all of a sudden could negotiate their rights because there wasn't enough peasants to do the work?
Oh, did that happen?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it was, you know, when you lose half your workforce, the other half that's surviving, they're like, oh, yeah, you want me to do all that shit? Well, guess what? I want it to be a little bit more equitable for me.
Yeah.
I don't care if you are the Prince of England. Get the fuck out of here.
I didn't vote for you.
I didn't vote for you.
Listen, daft women hanging out in ponds loving scimitars. It's no system for a basis of government. All right, we're really digressing now. Whoa. What else you got?
There is a big crisis going on over in China. They're calling it China's Lehman Brothers moment. There's a giant real estate property company called Evergrande. It's mm-hmm. the second biggest in China, and it's about to default on its debts. And
that's not good.
No. And there is nothing but speculation about what's going to happen. Like it's such a big moment that this company is going to default on $300 billion of debt that people are like, well, this is Lehman Brothers all over again.
More like Nevergrande.
Nevergrande.
So how does that work in China then? They actually can buy properties? I thought they were communists. Don't you like get everything assigned to you?
No.
Oh, I thought that's how communism worked. I thought you just show, you know, you wait in line, you get your weekly food rations, everybody shares everything.
Yeah, you know, I guess some communist countries are like a 1950s American grade school film strip on what it's like in the Soviet Union. Thanks for sticking with me to the end. I didn't know if I was going to stick the landing on that. Well, that's just it. Is they're a communist nation with socialist policies, but even, you know, everybody uses currencies, right?
Yeah, they got a lot more capitalism in them than communism, I think, at this point.
It's just capitalism exists on the national stage.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it has to, unless everything becomes strict barter, which is not what we need.
No.
You know, China has to exchange currencies for foreign goods and services. That's just a fact, you know. So
mm-hmm.
they've got their own like an economy, you know. People make money and they spend money. And apparently their companies go bankrupt just like ours. Ha! You're not so different, China. But that is one of the speculations of what might happen is China, the government might step in and just say, oh, you're too mm-hmm. big to fail. Where have we seen that before? AIG!
Yeah. They have a lot more leeway to do that, too.
They actually do, yeah. For sure.
China also stepped in. You remember that Ant IPO that everyone would be watching for?
Yeah.
Like, they're making them divest their lending arm, I think it was. I'm speaking from the hip because I don't have a story pulled up. But, yeah, they're breaking up some of those portions of Alipay.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, no, you're too big to
live. This is its own company. You don't get to have these two together. So everybody in China is worried that this property company is going to start offloading and selling its assets to stop the bleeding, mm-hmm. which could make real estate spiral down. You know, they would be just dumping a ton of property on the market. You know what happens when there's more sellers than buyers.
Yep.
Yeah. So we'll see. I'm excited to watch. I'm anxious to watch. Don't want to put a positive spin on it. Sorry, China. I know you're listening. You listen to everybody.
No. We don't bow to China.
No, not at all. I'm watching because this could be a really big moment for their economy, and if China starts spiraling in a bad way downward economically, it's going to ripple through the world.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They own a lot of American debt, and then what if they need that money all of a sudden and they call it due? You know, it's going
to. I don't think they could do that.
Well, we'll see.
That's like loaning money to the school bully. You're going to go up to him and demand your money back?
Oh, you think China's too scared of us to demand its money?
I think, I don't know.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Maybe that's a discussion we don't want to have. Just say good luck enforcing that, because, yeah, you might just destroy everything.
Yeah, take it all down. All right, well, let's see, do I have any other stories? I don't know if I've got.
I'm out of the general stories. I got some stuff in stocks that I want to talk about, but.
All right. Well, then I guess it's time to talk about how Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by the lovely Sue Pullen at Fairway Independent Mortgage.
Still.
It's still brought to you. Wait, or is she still lovely?
No, well, both.
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 Both. Fairway Independent Mortgage is an equal housing lender, and Sue Pullen is a certified mortgage advisor who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She's got years and years and years of experience helping thousands of people purchase, refinance, even reverse mortgages, if that's your thing. Sue will help. She's licensed in 27 states, so reach out, see what she can do for you. There's a really good chance she's licensed in your state, and if she needs a new license, you know, we might just call her up personally and ask her to do it.
She'll do it.
She'll do it. Yeah,
she'll do it to help you.
She just loves
to
help.
She's done it before.
She's done it before. Yep. Yeah, she's a fantastic lady. Reach out. Give her a call. 520-977-7904. Or you can shoot her an email, spullen, S-P-U-L-L-E-N, at fairwaymc.com. That phone number again is 520-977-7904. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number 2289. Sue Pullen has an MLS number 206048. That email again is spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone is 520-977-7904.
And Two Bulls is also a proud affiliate of Trade Pro Academy.
Trade Pro?
Trade Pro Academy is an educational platform that offers institutional trader development programs to new and experienced independent traders. Translation?
Mm-hmm. Dan? Trade like the pros.
Yes, that's right. Trade like the big institutions.
That's right.
I got a great staff of highly knowledgeable and successful traders, as you probably know listening to our show, because we've had most of them on.
Right.
There's no better place that we found to learn all you need to be a successful trader. You can find them online at tradeproacademy.com or use our affiliate link in the episode description. It's a great way to support the show and improve your own knowledge and skills. As we mentioned last week, we're still working on trying to get a deal so we can get turn that affiliate link into a discount link. So stay tuned for an announcement on that.
All right. Sounds good to me.
All right. Crypto?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about some crypto.
Look at the news. What do you see? The cult of cryptocurrency. You need that Bitcoin, Ether, NFT. Cult of cryptocurrency. Like Elon Musk tweets his Doge. The cult of cryptocurrency. Cult of cryptocurrency. Cult of cryptocurrency.
Have you come across any amazing crypto stories?
You remember how Musk was making Dogecoin go crazy?
Yeah, of course. The old pump and dump.
All right, so let's see. Let's try to see what he actually did. He posted a picture, a tweet of his dog. He got a new dog that named it Floki. And it looks like it's one of those Shiba Inu dogs, like the same dog that Dogecoin has. And after he tweeted that, then a bunch of the knockoffs, cryptos of Doge went soaring.
wait, so he tweeted a picture of his real life dog?
Of a new little dog. Yeah, dog that he just got.
And it just happens to be the breed that they based the Dogecoin meme symbol on.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's named Floki. So then this crypto Shiba Floki, crypto symbol F-L-O-K-I, jumped 1,406% higher. Over 24 hours. Let's see, there's another Floki that was also up 104%. Dogecoin went up 2%. Baby Dogecoin. No, not baby. Never mind, not baby Dogecoin. Yeah, so post a picture of a dog and then another crypto just goes through the roof.
Yeah, wow.
Like Elon Musk is like the tea leaves of crypto, I think.
Yeah. People.
If you can figure out how to read them, you can make some money, but... Like, I don't blame Elon for this one. He just posted a picture of a dog. Like, people are going nuts.
Right? Okay, I pulled up the tweet. It's, yeah, okay. And this is literally, might I remind you, half of what people do on the internet is share pictures of their pets, especially puppies and kittens.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, wow. They are really reading into this. It is literally a close-up picture of a sleeping puppy. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Yeah, not his fault. I don't blame him on that one.
Yeah, I don't think he did anything out of the ordinary. I think you're right. People are just, like, glued to his Twitter right next to their crypto account. And they're like, okay, I'm ready to buy. What do you got?
I mean, if everybody else is doing it, if you're the first one getting in there, then, yeah. It could work.
Wow. Now I kind of want to try it, but I don't have the wherewithal to stare at Twitter.
Yeah, I don't either. Plus, I don't know enough of the cryptos to know which one
everybody's
going to associate it with. Let's see. The other story I got here is just a quick one, but remember we were talking about the Ethereum network upgrade?
Yeah, big upgrade.
And how part of that was going to be like burning some of the coins.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, since that upgrade, over $1 billion worth of Ether has been burned.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's been 6 weeks.
So is that the crypto version of a buyback?
I don't know, because I don't think like Ethereum itself is spending any money to it. I think they just, it's the fees that are being used for transactions that are just getting destroyed or removed from circulation. And it's looks like it's meeting the what they wanted it to do, or it's meeting the intent of trying to make the gas volatility more stable. So even though like the fees are super high, like at least they're not like going, they're not unpredictable or as unpredictable as they used to be.
Right. And with deflation, they'll always, they fight the urge to get higher and higher. You know, with the inflated asset and the value goes down, it takes more of it to pay the fee.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're using the fees to deflate, then it's going to guarantee that the fees stay reasonable. And the value of your, well, not guaranteed, but it's going to help the value of the crypto stay stable for sure.
Well, it's definitely helped the value. It's risen 22% since that upgrade happened.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, what story do you have?
Well, Kyle, do you think crypto is an asset or a currency?
I think we decided a currency, didn't we?
Well, you're wrong.
It's called a cryptocurrency.
The European Central Bank.
On whose authority?
Yeah, right. On the authority of the European Central Bank. Their president, Christine Lagarde. Lagarde, I don't know. She might be Swiss. I'm just going to pronounce it Lagarde. She's drawn a hard line in the sand in an interview with David Rubenstein. This is a direct quote. Cryptos are not currencies, full stop. Cryptos are highly speculative assets that claim their fame as currency, but they are not. I think we have to distinguish between cryptos that are highly speculative, suspicious occasionally, and high intensity in terms of energy usage. Assets, but not a currency.
Huh.
Yeah. So, bam.
Okay.
Take that.
Hard to argue with that level of conviction.
The apparently, and I don't know why this is in the same article, but then it goes on to talk about Bitcoin's environmental impact and cites the Bitcoin Mining Council releasing a statement that said in the second quarter 2021, the use of sustainable energy for Bitcoin mining rose above the 50% barrier.
Okay, so that's good.
So 56% is what they're saying. 56% of the energy used to mine crypto is sustainable energy.
So they must be converting all those gas power plants they're buying to solar.
Yeah, right, I guess. Just use cow and pig methane. There you go. You know, back to the main story. I honestly, I don't know who wrote this fucking article. And you don't need to know. She's acknowledging the rise of stablecoins and how consumer demand is leading central banks to get involved.
I like the comment about the suspicious activity.
Suspicious activity, right?
I wonder if she's talking about Elon.
Right? Suspicious dog tweets. Your puppy, yeah. Sir? Who tweets a picture of your puppy? That's a pump and dump. To continue to quote her, you have those stablecoins that are beginning to proliferate, which are a different animal and need to be regulated, where there is oversight, which corresponds to the business that they are actually conducting. And in all that, you have the central banks who are prompted by the demands of customers to do something that will make the central bank and central bank currencies fit for the century we're in, which is why we are now looking at all central bank digital currencies.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of having banknotes and cash in our pockets and wallets, we can have exactly the same thing but in digital form. We want customers to have their preference. If they still want to hold those banknotes in cash, fine. So the translation is,
crypto is not a currency unless it's the banks.
But when we release digital cash, that will be a currency. But none of that other right. shit is a currency.
Right.
So, yeah,
You can't make your own currency. Only we can do it, is what that sounds like.
I don't, yeah, right, right. I love the insanity of she's saying, like, these are speculative, risky assets. But we acknowledge that we're going to do digital dollars. It's probably going to be exactly the same thing.
Yep.
But you can't. That's not currency. Oh. And the only difference is who issued it. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's going to be the end of the Wild West soon, I fear. There you have it, folks.
Yay.
Yeah. Stay tuned next week and
like, share, subscribe.
Oh yeah,
all that shit.
Yeah, yeah, that stuff. Till next time, folks. Happy trades.
Bye. Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2BullsInAChinaShop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network. Blah, 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate, subscribe.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.